Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Hey there! Do you like films? Do you like wrestling from the 2000s? Do you want to see a film about wrestling from the 2000s? Well, WrestleTalk are hosting a special screening of Ready to Rumble for its 19th anniversary at the Prince Charles Cinema in Leicester Square on May 7th, 2019.
Wrestling's fake.
Wrestling's not fake!
Myself, Ollie Davis, Luke Owen, Laurie Blake, Andy Datsun, Pete Quinnell, and maybe a few other surprises will be in attendance for a meet and greet before the film.
And then stick around after the screening for a special Wrestle Ramble podcast recording where we'll talk in depth about David Arquette winning the WCW Championship to promote the film and what it did for the wrestling industry.
Would that be raw sewage I'm smelling?
They kind of always like that smell.
If you've not seen Ready to Rumble before, come see the sports entertainment epic the Detroit News said manages to insult not only pro wrestlers, but also their fans.
Brittany, let's go out again. We'll talk about me and you.
Dude, you're in there.
The Matt-based masterpiece the New York Post called a toilet humor farce proud of its own crudeness.
Your sister shot her first perp today.
That's nice, Gabby.
And if that doesn't tempt you, the Orlando Sentinel said of this barn burner brilliance, yes, film fans, there is a new worst movie of all time.
Any match, any time.
The Steel Cage.
Steel Cage wins.
So come see...
Shut up, Randy!
You're not part of this!
So come see Ready to Rumble at the Prince Charles Cinema on May 7th with your friends at WrestleTalk. Tickets are available now.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen, who was still typing. While I was doing the intro.
I was plugging the live stream on the social media, on the social banks.
On the soch.
The social banks, like you're supposed to be doing, but never do.
That's not my role. It's a fluid. The whole place is in flux.
Yeah?
Yeah.
In what sense?
It's like, producer Andy will back me up on this as a football-loving man. It's like the Netherlands total football from the 80s and early 90s.
Yeah, it's exactly like that, yeah.
Yeah, so we've got a lot of people who just adapt to what position they need to be in.
I see. Yeah, producer Andy is on the intro with us.
Is this on?
It is on, yes. Hello. Yeah. You just need to speak into it.
Okay, I didn't realise it was on.
Speak away from it. Yeah, Andy's going to be joining us now, in theory, for podcast intro and outros moving forward.
Total football.
Total football, yeah, exactly. Total football. It's liquid football.
We're putting people in roles where they do, and just watching them either float or sink. But by the way, I had to get Sky Sports for Raw and SmackDown last week.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
And now I feel like my sports references have upped their game.
Are you still watching the Masters coverage for a tournament that doesn't
start? I watched
start?
Tiger Woods' emphatic win. Yeah. Yes, that was a great moment. One of the greatest moments in the history of golf, wouldn't you say, Randy Andy Datsun?
It was wonderful, yeah. It's been 14 years since he last won the Masters, so it was very nice to see him do it again.
What a comeback. What a comeback. And sometimes if I've got nothing to do, I'll just put on the football years, 1998 to 1999. So yeah, I've got a lot of specific references now.
Excellent.
In my back pocket.
Oh, well, I mean,
the
emailers.
Back door, one might say.
Emailers, get in touch with your sports-related questions, specifically for the English Premier League, 1998 to 1999.
I'm immediately regretting saying that.
I've got you covered.
Because now Ollie Davis is sportsmaster here. No, you can't help him. That's the,
okay.
Yeah, you're not allowed to help him on this one.
Sportsmaster.
Yeah, the sportsmaster, Ollie Davis.
No, sports slayer.
Sport.
Ooh, sports slayer.
Yeah. But the main question that everyone has on their minds is nothing to do with the English Premier League, 1998 to 1999. It's how did your marathon go?
That's kind of a sport. The sport of running.
Yeah.
I mean, I equate running and then walking.
I equate it to fast walking, which, as you've already said, is not exercise.
No. Walking is not exercise.
Yeah. And running is essentially just fast walking. So that's also not exercise.
You could say picking something up from the floor is just slow Olympic weightlifting.
Which I do all the time. That's how I get around. When my wife says to me, you don't get enough exercise, I was like, I pick up my laptop every single day.
Like an Atlas stone. Just awkwardly grabbing round it. Yep. Yeah, it was one of the most horrible experiences I've ever been through. I got no joy from it. Three people I ran it with also got no joy from it. One of them did. She's run like three marathons now.
Oh, so she's an idiot.
That's her thing.
Yeah.
She likes running. We don't like running. We did it to make fun of our friend. And maybe that's not the best place to come from. It was so awful. I don't know if I've told you this yet. But we're all in our 30s. Mm. All four of us cried while running.
Yeah.
Not the feeling when you finish. And because like we were told going down on the train, some guy was just like, you're doing the Brighton Marathon. And we're like, yeah. And he went, is it your first time? And we went, yeah, it is. Yeah. And he went, just be prepared. When you finish, you'll cry. And we were like, oh, I never even thought of that.
Yeah.
But I was talking to my lady partner and she said, yeah, like she'd be there. My parents were down there. My girlfriend's parents were there. So
everyone in support of Davis.
Yeah, loads of people.
Support Davis run.
To just after doing this mammoth, literally a marathon, to cross the line and you see people, you just start crying. Mm. It's one, maybe not everyone does, but I did.
Yeah.
What I wasn't prepared for was crying on the way round because it was so hard.
Can you give me a dramatic like reconstruction of what the crying was like? Because like I imagine like when I go outside and it's a very blustery day, my eyes will stream, but I don't think I'm crying.
Mm.
Was this literally like sobbing tears?
Okay, so you've got the wrong way round there. You had the physical manifestation of tears.
Yeah.
But not the emotion. I had the emotion, but no tears. Because I had sweated out all the water from my body. The only thing that was going in me were jelly babies handed out by very kind kids who lined the roads.
Yeah.
And goo energy packs, which were also handed out and gave me a very suspect tummy later on in the day. So yeah, it's awful. The first, like a half marathon is enough. That was enjoyable. That was a fun part. I was on pace. I did the half marathon part of it. So the first half, maths, the first third, if you're Scott Steiner, I did that perfectly on time to where I wanted to be, which was like just over 2 hours. And I wanted to run a 4:20. Rob Van Dam. A 4-hour 20 marathon.
Yeah.
Which I might have done if it wasn't for all the hills, which I didn't really take into account. None of us did. We all did about 20 minutes less than we thought we'd do. But yeah, I got to mile 15 and it's this long stretch of road that just goes on forever. You see a horizon point and that's a long way away and it's just people. Because it's like 18,000 people did this marathon and you just see people. And then there's people coming the other way because you just come back on yourself after you reach the end. And I was like, okay, so the end point of this bit is there by the traffic lights. I got to that point. There was another horizon of people. That happened twice. And then I had to run that way back. And I threw up twice on this stretch of road. That was the first time I started walking. And I legit was going to quit. I was honestly going to quit because I was crying. I'd vomited twice. And I didn't want to run anymore.
This sounds like the worst thing ever.
I do not recommend it. You know, like you say, oh yeah, but when you finish the elation. No, I had to have my dad hold me, put his coat on me, because I lost so much body heat after finishing. And like yeah, my mum was just feeding me hot cross buns, which still had, you know, when you put
the
hot cross
on.
Yeah, but then pretty much, you know, when you put a hot cross bun in a napkin,
yeah,
and you put it in your purse, maybe like my mum's done,
uh-huh,
and hot cross buns are sticky, and you take the napkin away, the napkin, bits of the napkin, I was eating napkin and hot cross bun, anything to get the colour in my face again.
Yeah.
I couldn't walk for a day. My knees are just okay now.
Is this why one of the photos, like, because your girlfriend sent me some photos, and like there are people just sitting down.
Was this on the course?
No. So you got like almost like a, it's you posing with your medals.
Yeah. Oh, is that the one with the guys? Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It was that. So yeah, it was awful. One of the us who did the best time, did amazingly. He cried for 20 minutes because I cried. And I stopped, and I would walk a bit, but he kept on pushing, and he cried for 20 minutes. And he's a rock climber. Like, he's, like, a very good rock climber, and he's never cried rock climbing.
Mm.
It's if running's your thing, maybe you'll enjoy it, but I don't think you will. It's unbelievable. It's horrible.
I mean, I can completely empathize. I did a Tough Mudder last year, which is 10 miles of... assault, basically a massive assault course with like ice water and climbing up things.
It's like Funhouse.
Yeah, but it's dreadful. And I run at one point, running up a hill, both sides of my groin had gone. Running up the hill, I just started crying.
Yeah,
I was in just so much pain, and I was like, I've only done like 2/3 of this, and I want to go home. And after I finished, I couldn't walk. My dad was there. He put his coat around me, basically had to carry me, drove me home because I couldn't drive because my legs hurt so much.
What did you do with your car?
He abandoned it.
It was your car.
So yeah, no. But I completely appreciate the crying because you just can't help it. You just feel helpless.
Yeah,
and you're just like, what?
Why am I
doing this?
I had run so far, and I'd just gone over halfway.
The only reason I finished was because it was a charity, and I thought I can't not do it.
Mm. No, I know how you guys feel. I went for a really long walk on Saturday, and I had to have a breakfast bar halfway round. Mm. Yeah, it was pretty tiring. Although lovely walk. There was a point though while we were doing that walk that I turned to my wife and I was like, "So we've walked. I think we'd walked 7 miles at this point, something like that." And I turned to my wife and I was like, "So how far is this in relation to like how far Ollie's running?" She was like, "Oh, I think this is like almost a quarter of what he's got to do." And I'm like, shouted that loud, "Well, F that. Like, why would anyone do this? We've been walking for hours. Why would anyone run this?"
I've got no answer for you. I'm not going to do it again. In fact, I'm probably going to pull out of the triathlon that I'm in September.
Yeah, I forgot about the triathlon.
I did not enjoy it.
No.
I just want to read comics now.
Yeah.
That's what I went home and did afterwards.
Well, send your WrestleTalk Get Betters to luke@wrestletalk.com, where we're encouraging each other to get better and get fitter and healthier and not try and scare people off from doing such sort of exercise.
Hey, I lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
So
and you got
I got sunburnt and I wore a band around my. Have you noticed this, Andy?
Yeah, you've got a big red forehead.
Yeah. Not in one part because I had a big sweatband, Bobby Lashley style, around my head. But of course, my hair doesn't cover all of my head. So I got
my dad, basically. He has exactly the same thing.
Receding hairline bit. So those triangles got burnt. My nose got burnt. The back of my neck got burnt.
Do you think people will notice on YouTube?
I hope so. I just want everyone to share the pain.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we're going to dive into the show now, talking about what's next for AJ Styles since he's jumped across to Monday Night Raw. Here is the show.
Superstar Shake-Up, we had the first episode last night. It was a show, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. It was the most non-newsworthy superstar shakeup possibly in the history of anything.
People are on this show now.
Yeah.
And presumably other people are going to be on the other show.
Yep.
It didn't really feel like much of a change because that's the way it's been for the last 3 months anyway.
And I think that because none of the names were particularly huge, and the majority of them were names that we all sort of expected. Mm. AJ Styles, the Usos, we all thought they were going across. The only one that really took me by surprise was Andrade.
That was my favourite one.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, just seeing him come out, I feel like he's had a soft reboot with Zelina Vega in the proper manager role rather than... They're a mixed tag team.
Yeah.
But we'll get onto that later. We'll kick off with probably the biggest one, which we all kind of predicted anyway. It was a move that was meant to happen this time last year. AJ even had red attire made for the night. But I think they just scrapped it last minute.
It just changed their minds.
Yeah, AJ's going to stay on SmackDown. It's AJ Styles. He's on Raw now.
And so, just to fill me in, was Joe going to jump as well?
Yeah, so the Samoa Joe was meant to appear on Raw to continue the feud with Braun Strowman that was started last week on SmackDown. I don't know if that meant he was going to be drafted to Raw or if he was just going to show up there and then they're both move across to SmackDown tonight.
Okay.
But he was ill. Samoa Joe's got the flu, so he couldn't do it. And they made him squash EC3 instead.
Hey, man, maybe it'll work out for EC3. Maybe he got the rub.
Yeah.
Being in the ring with him. But the main event of this show was Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns and a mystery partner who was announced as being someone from SmackDown Live.
I thought we were finally getting vacant.
Well, it was about time, really. Yeah. Versus Baron Corbin's mid-card of evil. It's like the Shield reunion. It was bound to happen at some point. We have one last run of it before the superstars shake up in theory because one of them's got to go to SmackDown, right? And let's just keep putting these three lads together.
No. Wherever Corbin goes, the vortex will follow.
Yeah.
And someone else will be sucked in. Honestly, because this match was announced very close to the start of the show. Like, you know, stick around for our main event. We've got Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, a mystery partner on the... And it won't be The Bar or someone like that because it's the proper superstar shakeup. And I was like, oh, that's big time. Who are they against? Drew McIntyre, Baron Corbin and Bobby Lashley. And just that match graphic in April 2019.
Yep.
This is a faction that has been randomly coexisting since November, when they were going against Braun Strowman, and really that faction, to me predates all the way to the Dogs of War.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because maybe it's not even Baron Corbin's mid-card of evil.
It's Drew McIntyre.
It's Drew McIntyre's. He's the one constant.
It's Drew McIntyre's bunch of lads. Like he had the bunch of lads with the Dogs of War, and then he got rid of two of those lads and just replaced them with two other lads. Mm. Drew McIntyre's bunch of lads. And it was a bit of a disappointment to see that match graphic come up, but also one that was unsurprising.
Yeah, well, unlike last week, which I was very down on, and I think rightly so, where they teased, well, they didn't even tease, they flat out announced this is our big match, WWE Champion versus Universal Champion, Seth Rollins versus Kofi Kingston, winner takes all. That was a carny trick. But when they announced this match at the start of the show, I was like, well, at least I know what I'm getting. At least I know where my expectations can set and I'll focus on the mystery partner. This was very much a house show packaged with surprises.
Yeah.
So there was very little in the way of storyline build or feuds beginning. I know you can sort of argue that maybe Lars is going to feud with Ray.
Becky Lacey,
but that was set up last week, I guess. But nothing really felt like this was the start of anything. I mean, like, Lars could turn up on SmackDown tomorrow night.
Yeah, he's not officially signed to Raw, I don't think.
Yeah, he wasn't. I mean, who knows what the official draft list was.
Well, they say that we'll know, like, when SmackDown ends tonight, that's when we will know officially where everyone is. So there is every chance. Are you looking for the list of people who've jumped? I've got them written down.
The WWE.com one?
Oh, no, I just wrote down as we were going across.
Yeah. You can't go by that because...
Why?
Well, so there was all the people who appeared.
Yeah.
So do you count Shane McMahon in that? Shane McMahon opened the show.
No, but he is like an omnipresence now because they don't have general managers anymore.
Omni-shambles.
So I think that...
Omni-shanals.
I think he's just jumped to Raw, or he's going to be on Raw more because he's still feuding with The Miz and The Miz is now on Raw.
Yeah, because WWE.com lists The Miz... as being on Raw.
Yeah.
They also do Ricochet and Aleister Black. Although the commentary team played up that wasn't final. They weren't on the graphic midway through the show. No. Neither were...
The Viking Experience. Yeah, I thought Black and Ricochet were up in the air. I put question marks next to them.
Ricochet most usually is up in the air.
Yeah. So I wasn't sure on that one. But I've got The Miz, Andrade Vega, Cedric Alexander, The Usos, Naomi, Rey Mysterio, Eric Young, No Sanity, Viking Experience, AJ Styles, Lacey Evans, and Ricochet and Aleister Black with question marks.
I've got EC3 here on their list.
Oh, I guess him being on that show does mean that he's now a Raw guy. But, I mean, it might not do. He might show up on SmackDown tonight.
No one knows. WWE don't know. We don't know.
In fairness to WWE.com, it is run by a different team to the creative.
Yeah, why would you have everyone talking across stuff? No. Anyway, AJ Styles was unveiled as the mystery partner. That's the selling point. We can get past the mid-card of evil. As if to think, like, of all the Shield farewell send-off tours you could do, this could have been the final night.
Mm-hmm.
And you could debut a heel, and they come across, and maybe they're the person who finally beats the Shield. But no, this is the farewell mid-card of evil night.
Yeah. I knew something was up on Raw, or at least I knew that some people had their dander up about something when I went onto Twitter this morning and I had over 100 notifications, humble brag. And it was 95% people talking about the Viking Experience and 5% people complaining about the mid-card of evil.
Yeah. Well,
so apparently those are the two big stories of the show.
I'm fine with the mid-card of evil. This to me felt like the end. I know we're just going to get some different permutation of it. But this was all about AJ Styles turning up. And he's got a new face, Luke.
I thought he was cosplaying as Matt Jackson.
So he's got, like, he's shaved. But he hasn't fully shaved his chin
no,
strap.
No, and he's sort of got the Matt Jackson mutton chops.
Yeah. I was
mesmerised by it.
Yeah.
Because I was not mesmerised in the sense of, like, I am mesmerised by Elizabeth Olsen. I was mesmerised in the sense of, what is this?
Yeah.
What is this facial hair?
Where do I stand on it? it's almost Uncanny Valley territory, where I can, yeah. What's different about your head?
Yeah, you have made a change. Mm. I can't quite put my finger on what it is.
Yeah, because his beard was always quite light anyway.
Mm.
Not too dissimilar from face.
Yeah, yeah.
And now he's shaved off a bit of that. Yeah, so whatever. He's more of a baby face, I guess. And AJ eventually won. It was one of those matches where, bafflingly to me, they just beat up Roman Reigns for 90% of the match again.
That's his role. It's to get the heat and then people make comebacks. Or he makes comebacks.
Yeah, well, I think that's the wrong use of him since coming back from his leukemia diagnosis.
Oh, agreed.
Yeah, he should be the guy that people build to the tags towards. If anything, Seth's a better seller as well. Like, Seth is a babyface in power.
You don't
it's
want
the
Universal
effective.
Champion selling too much. You don't want the guy who's just come across selling too much.
Of course.
And you've got to sell to get the heat.
Anyway, it's a normal match. Didn't go quite long. It was under 10 minutes. But the final sequence, I thought, was really, really fun.
Yeah.
You had, what was AJ?
So AJ, I believe he missed the clothesline. Drew hit him with a claymore.
Yeah, that was really surprising. Usually when you get hit by a claymore, you're out of the match.
Yeah.
But I guess a minute later, AJ was up to do the phenomenal forearm.
Yeah, he hit the claymore, and then as Bobby was getting the pin on AJ, Seth jumped in and hit the curb stomp, and then Roman hit the spear on Lashley, and AJ hit the forearm and pinned him, and the good guy stood tall at the end.
Yeah, it was really good. It was a fun ending. It was just a house show night, really, I said, with these surprises. But yeah, now AJ is on Raw, like we speculated. Now maybe we're going to get that Seth Rollins versus AJ Styles title feud.
Maybe. And hopefully it doesn't disappoint us like the Kevin Owens one did.
Mm.
Sort of like reliving this sort of like Ring of Honor versus TNA days that we thought that the Kevin Owens feud was going to give us.
Yeah.
And it just sort of gave us botched finishes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm happy to see AJ on Raw. I think that AJ needed it to be freshened up. Now that he is no longer WWE champion on SmackDown, he almost felt rudderless. Like the Randy Orton feud going into Mania just felt like placeholder. It was just like, well, we've got nothing else for these two guys to do, so we'll just put them into a feud.
And it was really good.
Really good, I
enjoyed.
The match was great.
The match was great. The build was really good, but I was never there going, oh, yes, AJ versus Randy.
Yeah.
But I know we said what's next for AJ Styles. I think it's quite clear he's right in the main event. He's probably going to have a babyface versus babyface thing with Rollins. There's no other club members there. I think Finn Balor's going to... I think we'll see him on SmackDown tonight. Especially if Samoa Joe was meant to be on Raw with the US title. I think maybe the plan might be for Balor to move across with the IC belt.
You certainly could make that argument as well with Andrade pinning him. Because I think the way you could look at this is, well, who lost? Because that could be an indication of who's going across to the other brand. But then it almost felt like they were setting up Andrade to be a United States, an intercontinental challenger to Finn Balor now that he's pinned the champion. So if Finn just goes away, then that win almost feels redundant because it's not... I know you're nodding your head. And I suppose Ray's there, so we could just continue that directionless feud with Andrade and Ray.
Yeah, he can just have another year like last year where he has a really good TV match every couple of months.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, just kind of disappears for a bit.
Sweet. Yeah, too sweet.
But more interestingly, I think, is where Roman Reigns goes from here. He looks like an odd man out now.
Yeah, he really does.
In this whole main event scene. So I've... Surely Reigns to SmackDown, especially with Vince McMahon's announcement on the website that tonight on SmackDown is going to see the biggest name shake-up ever. Do you think it's a trolling move?
I think it's Baron Corbin. I think he's going to announce Baron Corbin. I think they're going to build this up in the show, and it's going to be Baron Corbin because the crowd will boo that, and that will be the heat. It's not going to be anyone good.
Yeah. That could definitely happen. Nia Jax, like, maybe. Charlotte.
She's still on SmackDown. Yeah, it's the best acquisition we could possibly get. But yeah, like, or it's Ronda Rousey. Or like, if it's going to be anyone big, it'll be like Rousey or something like that. And it'll be like
I think Reigns.
I mean, to be honest, I've tempered so much of my expectations now. Now, when we were chatting with housemate Simon in the office earlier, he was like, oh, maybe it'd be the Undisputed Era. And I'm like, mate, if it's the Undisputed Era and they had planned to bring them up, they should have just done it last week. Mm. Because now it will feel very hollow.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to ever think about an Undisputed Era call up again after last week.
In the
week.
Same way, I'm not going to get my hopes up about Vince McMahon, known heel Vince McMahon, who has done nothing but troll us since announcing that the power is now in our hands, to come out on SmackDown and make a genuinely big announcement.
Hmm. Yeah, you're probably right.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Well, let's do some Patreon shout-outs. I'm going to kick things off. All three of us are going to be doing this and clapping along. If you want to get your name shouted out in the Wrestle Ramble, all you've got to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers on Patreon at the $25 and above level. You get a whole host of bonus goodies, as well as things like this. Your name in the credits. James Preston City Wrestling.
Whoa!
Yes, James.
Oh, I thought you were going next. Oh, no. Are we not going that way?
I mean,
I'll go.
Yeah, last time it was
Let's
you.
Let's have a drink, Christopher Travis Merriman.
Oh, he's merry. Yeah. He is merry.
The Beast, Brock Taylor.
Whoa. The Beast. Don't get slayed now. Yeah. Supernova, Steve Harris. Like Noam Dar.
Jerry was a race car driver, Spiker.
It's a Primus joke. Jerry was a race car driver.
I hope you know Primus.
Charlie, drink it in, Z-man. Z-man.
Drink it in, Z-man.
Whoa. Yeah. Yes, lovely stuff. What you talking about, Jerry Willis?
Whoa. Yes. Yes.
Old references.
King George Phillips.
Oh, what a nice chap he is too. Hopefully see you at the Prince Charles once again.
The Perfect Storm, Noah Trombley.
Yes, it's stormy. There can only be one. Ah, legend.
Yes.
Yes, Highlander.
Ah, why do I always get this one? Robert Spencer. Period.
Yes.
Did I do it right this time?
That was good.
Monty
yeah.
Brown.
Michael Sands of Time.
Like a Whoa. Prince of Persia. Yes, Prince of Persia. Bull Lift Club leader, Johnny Motter.
Woo. Yeah.
Good stuff.
John Secret Santos.
Oh, secrets.
In a name I think was probably done around Christmas time.
Big Apple Takedown, Lindsay Munro.
Yeah. Big Apple Takedown.
The best book of all time.
Butter Me Up, Soren Nord.
Woo. Spell me up.
Butter me up, baby. Just man. To love me now.
The Zodiac, Zachary Marsh.
Oh, scary. Ooh. Scary stuff.
Never catch him.
And last but not least, Robin Banks, Lee Roberts.
Yes,
thank
lovely
you very
stuff.
Much, everybody.
Undisputed Era says Sir Ember to be called up as the Time of No Doubt.
Oh, as in like as a parody yeah. of...
In fact, I've actually told everyone that you love the Viking Experience name just to try and... because you weren't...
Okay. Well, let's just address this like now. The reason why Andy is saying that I loved the name is because Andy came in with the most like... And I've just seen so many like huge overreactions to this name. Andy called for a boycott of WWE because they changed their name.
No,
Andy,
I called
Andy say, tell me, tell me I'm not lying. You said
I called for a boycott of the name.
And then how are you going to boycott the name, Andy? Unless
by just calling
the
in War Raiders. It's like...
to be fair, Andy did say that everyone should boycott it.
Yes.
But I don't know what you meant by it.
I meant the War Raiders. It's like when...
How would you boycott people saying their name? You mean if everyone just referred to them as War Machine? Yeah, I'm old school.
No,
I didn't even like War Raiders. Imagine how angry I am.
I did say on Twitter today, War Raiders was a dumber name than War Machine, yeah. But we got used to it.
Hmm. But it was like when the Newcastle United owners renamed St. James's Park the Sports Direct Arena. Absolutely no one called it that. And then they just gave up in the end. So I think that could happen with this.
That's a reference more in my wheelhouse with the sports. Yeah.
Your 1998-1999 football knowledge.
Right. Josh on a poll, Paulson says...
Gianfranco Zola.
Who's...
It's who's, another person who played football in that time.
Who's ready for the WrestleTalk experience, says Josh Paulson.
What about the WrestleTalk experience?
Are we ready for the WrestleTalk experience? Well, I'll tell you what I'm ready for. The WrestleTalk live experience, May 7th at the Prince Charles Cinema with our screening of Ready to Rumble with a live podcast record afterwards. Tickets are available now.
I'm having more of this. We'll have plenty of these with fans at the Prince Charles on May 7th.
Yeah, tickets are available now.
Stop making it look like you're about to stop talking and then I switch to me and then you start talking again and I look like a rubbish. Anyway... Omar,
because we'll be drinking.
You did it again
in the bar with fans before the event.
We will do, yeah.
Omar Diaz can't says, "Will WrestleTalk give Randy a huge push?
What would a huge push be?
Down a flight of stairs?"
Yeah. Did you know there is a sexual philia for being pushed down the stairs called climatophilia, which is you get pleasure from being pushed down the stairs.
Wow.
Did you know there is a... I learned this from How To Wrestling via Brian Zane of Wrestling With Regret. There is a sexual fetishization, it's easy for me to say, of jobbers. Of like...
I've heard of...
Yeah, people
heard
being
of
like jobbed out. I've been squashed in rings and things like that.
Oh, okay. What, like people just...
Yeah.
Chokes so, like, is that like, what EC3's into then?
Well, I mean,
maybe he's having the time of his life on
or people watching that and sort of getting off on the idea of it. Like if you put so, like a very small man in the ring with Walter so he could just throw people around, you would get sexual gratification from that.
Each to their own.
Yeah.
Yeah. Harry likes Louise him, yeah. Marie says, Bray's doll looks so much like Priscilla Kelly, which is a bit mean.
It's a bit mean. Poor old Priscilla Kelly.
Priscilla Kelly being the former wife of John Travolta.
Priscilla Kelly there's being the person who recently threw up on Joey Ryan's penis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They look nothing like each other.
Yeah. I think it was meant to be more of a play on Annabelle. That's what I figured. Mm.
Oh, the doll.
Yeah.
Not the bird.
No, not the bird raptor.
Not bird raptor.
Yeah.
Maybe.
My favourite thing I've seen from that doll is someone sent it to me today on Twitter, which just said, page here.
Page here.
Freeze Man suggests that the Viking Experience are now guaranteed to become comedy jobbers.
No.
They got the win.
They got the
they
win.
Look pretty strong.
They were, they were pushed serious. They're big dudes as well. Like, big dudes will get you far in WWE.
Luke Gallows was a big dude.
Yeah, but Anderson was a small dude.
They had a
and
strong...
And Anderson was holding him back.
They had a strong debut.
But also, they were part of a gimmick that was popular outside of the company.
So was War Raiders.
They're Vikings now. But they're now like proper Vikings now. They're not the War Raiders anymore.
Why have subtlety?
They're the now we're creating them. They're a new act now. Look, it's what Road Dogg said on Twitter. In 2 months' time, more people will know them as the Viking Experience than anyone ever did as War Machine.
Mm. As a joke.
I don't think he was joking.
No. We know Viking Experience as a joke. When WWE are undoubtedly going to say, we were number... You know, we were trending on Twitter last night. Yeah, because people were making fun of what you called the tag team we like.
Yeah.
It's not positive.
Tomo says, with the Raw shakeup done, who do you think will be champions for Raw by next WrestleMania?
Oh, by next WrestleMania? That's a long way away.
That's almost too long a way away. And bearing in mind that plans change like on a weekly basis. Yes, Ollie Davis?
Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, you're right.
Brock Lesnar on Raw.
You're absolutely right. It's Brock Lesnar. Yeah.
Probably SmackDown too.
We have one more, please.
Roman will be SmackDown champion.
Yeah.
Brock will be Raw.
You can from Ruben Johnston, who says, who will be the SmackDown's biggest acquisition, I think he's joking, but I said, I think it will be the Gobbledygooker or the Shockmaster.
I'd assume he's joking as well. I've seen more serious suggestions of people saying it's going to be Bugenhagen. To answer the other question, I'm going for Baron Corbin will be WWE champion by Mania next year. The heat, Ollie. The heat he'll get as walking into WrestleMania as WWE champion. The most prestigious. Look at all that heat Jinder got when he had the belt. And Baron's got way more heat than Jinder had.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Roman Reigns for tonight's big SmackDown move.
I'm going for Baron Corbin.
So Stephanie McMahon kicked off the actual episode.
She's a heel now.
Yeah, well, or is she? She kind of opened as a face and then she was like, here's my brother, Shane McMahon. Shane came out, they hugged. Shane did his best in the world period shtick.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of got from Stephanie here that she's a face, but she still loves her brother.
Oh, I
so
just
she's a tweener.
No, but then she started making fun of Kurt Angle. Like, because the crowd started chanting, you suck, and she was like, guys, Kurt Angle lost, get over it.
That's a good point. The crowd were really hot
throughout
the entire show, apart from a Zack Ryder hot tag. But they were really hot, the great crowd.
Yeah, I thought they died off a little bit.
But it's a three-hour show. I
don't blame them.
Yeah. In the grand scheme of things, Montreal were fantastic. I much preferred them to the Mania, post-Mania crowd last week because they were in it for the storylines and the wrestlers.
Yeah.
They booed Sami Zayn when they decided, okay, he wants us to boo him.
Yeah.
Whereas last
week, they didn't chant, we are awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah. Shane was getting some heat by saying best in the world and things like that. Steph made fun of Kurt Angle, more cheap heat. And then Shane said he wanted to reflect on his favorite moments of this past year, which was essentially just him beating up Miz Dad. And
it
then
seemed like they stepped over each other's bits there. I felt like Stephanie was going to announce something And then Shane was like, oh, but wait, there's this bit.
So I think that was probably intentional because Shane's the egotistical one. Okay. And yeah, and then he, you know, boasts about beating up Miz's dad. And then Miz showed up from nowhere. He is, if I'm right here, he's switched every single time there's been a superstar shakeup.
Well, there's the Miz theory, isn't there? Yeah. Wherever Miz goes is the better show.
So in theory, Raw is going to be the better show in 2019 than SmackDown will be.
Yeah, we'll see. It's a curious one. Meltzer brought this up, that Miz and Mrs. as directly after SmackDown, surely you'd want Miz on that show. Hmm. But then the other argument is more people watch Raw.
Yeah.
So you'll get more promotion that way.
It's on tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of plugging Miz and Mrs. Yes, that works. And, yeah, so Miz is now part of Raw. As a few people have pointed out, surely that's a bit weird because Shane's on SmackDown. But I think that Shane is, like, he's meant to be across both brands. And they'll just forget that he was part of SmackDown now. And he'll just be part of Raw.
He's Omni-Shane.
Yeah.
And his authority figures don't exist.
No, it's just the McMahons.
No, yeah, there's no point for him to be on SmackDown now.
No.
And so Miz starts beating him up. He has a little fiery exchange. He's got a chair. They brawl into the crowd. Somewhere in here, Shane clocks Miz over the top of the head. Miz is bleeding a gusher.
It's funny as well, because when you watch the replays, it takes him a long time to start bleeding.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was trying to work out where he bled from. But yeah, it must have just been from a Shane potato.
Mm. Or Shane's selling is so bad. Somehow make, like, bust people open as well. Shane is a dangerous worker. Like, we're going to say that, you know, Lacey Evans really terribly landed a moonsault. It's only right that we say the same thing about the guys. Yeah. Shane McMahon isn't a good wrestler. Miz is at least safe. Like, he's not a very good wrestler
King
in the
soft
ring.
Style.
Or on the level of a lot of the other guys. But at least he's safe. The guy's pretty much never been injured.
Yep, exactly. He boasts about it, in fact. That's why he was taken out of the main event, well, the final match of Best in the World. But it's I thought this was fine. It's nice to see this feud continuing. And actually, it continuing on a different show almost feels like it's freshened it up a little bit. Mm. It's funny how that works, really. But I liked it.
Yeah, I do hope... This segment left me more confused about how the Superstar Shake-Up works than anything. I know they've got done away with authority figures, but as a format, I felt like this, even last year, where they just had people randomly turn up, this year felt just empty.
Yeah.
That, remember, like, the first year when they had the 2016 brand split and they had a proper draft and you go here, you go there, there were orders that some people based entire characters on the order they were picked in, like Carmella.
Yep.
She was picked last. Heath Slater got a really funny run out of it.
Yeah.
When you've got something so obviously there to use as fuel, why would you not do it?
I was also looking at this from the perspective of, like, who do I not get to talk about for the next year? Now I'm just now I'm reviewing SmackDown.
I forgot about that.
And so you get to review Shane segments from now on.
Oh no! sorry, Andy's had his hand up for a while.
We're getting lots of messages from people saying that Miz hit himself in the head with his chair, which is why he started bleeding.
I thought it, yeah, because he got into the ring and that's when he started bleeding. And that's why I thought he started bleeding late from a Shane potato. But as he hit himself in the head, well, it's pretty silly, isn't it? And that's funny as well because we were just saying how safe he was.
Such a safe worker.
Such a safe worker.
He's never injured anyone else.
Just himself.
Yeah. He took one for Shane. He probably saw that Shane was going to somehow injure himself.
Yeah.
No.
After that, we got everyone's favourite segment. The most talked about.
Oh, I thought, okay, so I wanted to, before we get into that, yeah. I thought it was interesting to note that there were a lot of WrestleMania recaps on this show. And my theory on this, and obviously I've got nothing to base this on, but my theory is they had such a low number last week that they thought it'll be a higher number this week, so we better plug everything that happened at WrestleMania again, just in case people don't know what the storylines are or who won championships, and it might make people go and buy the network to watch the replay.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah. There were a lot.
It just really sort of struck me as odd. They were still doing WrestleMania recaps.
I guess there was no real storyline development last week, so there's nothing really you could recap. They recapped a lot of stuff on this show later in the show. But, but then we had Ricochet and Aleister Black come out, where the commentary team were like, oh my God, that means they're on Raw now. Oh, isn't that so great? And then by the end of this segment, they're going, so are they on Raw now?
Can I tell you what bugged me worse than that?
The name straps.
No. There was
they had Raw name straps rather than NXT ones.
Well, that was that didn't bother me in the slightest. Okay. I figured they were on Raw until Michael Cole started like. And now Ricochet has a gun sound effect in his entrance. It literally goes pa-doom, and then his music starts because it's the sound effects that will get him over. It's that Michael Cole was so surprised that Ricochet and Aleister Black were on this show. They're like, oh my God, Ricochet and Aleister Black are on Raw now. Mm-hmm. And then said, and they're teaming with Hawkins and Ryder. It's like, oh, so you have a run sheet in front of you then. You know who they're tagging with. You knew they were going to be there.
It could have just been vacant.
Just question marks.
Question marks, and then Kurt and Zach's names.
Hey, he didn't know it was that match. Yeah. Could have been. Yeah. But yeah, it was. That was what bugged me. But yeah, by the end of this, we don't know if Ricochet or Aleister Black. I'm hoping one of them gets drafted to SmackDown and we can end this team.
Yeah, I was really hoping that when Ricochet came out, I was doing the maths. So I was like, is it a six-man? What did they say? And then happened and Aleister Black came out. Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder, if you've forgotten, are the Raw Tag Team Champions.
Which I did.
I forgot that too.
Yeah. I also forgot the Usos aren't the SmackDown Tag Champs when they came over. Mm. And I was like, huh, what's this going to do for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships?
But they were all teaming against The Revival, nothing new there, and current NXT Tag Team Champions, The Viking Experience.
Yeah. And they're now called Eric and...
Ivar.
Yeah. I wrote down Ibor at one point because I wasn't sure. They just kept saying, like, they were so flippant in saying their names. The only one I could pick up was Eric because I thought, man, there is someone now. There is a wrestler on the main roster who is called Eric. Like, we've been taking the piss out. They're going to just start calling him John.
Well, it's weird that Eric. It's been changed.
And, like, as El Fakidor pointed out, it's like, well, you know, Eric, he was a very famous Viking and things like that. But there's someone on the main roster now who was just called Eric. Eric, he works in sales. Like,
Eric is the guy who checks the safety equipment before you do the Viking experience.
Okay. Yeah. There you go, yeah. Names, and it's like, hi, my name is Eric. Mm. Eric is not a threatening name. And it reminds me of when I went to watch WrestleMania 30 with my wife. It was a WrestleMania. I can't remember which one it was now. But my wife was, I was driving in a car with her, and she said, who's on the card? And I said, Austin Aries is having a match with Neville. And she paused, and she said, Neville? And I was like, yeah. And it's only until you say it out loud to a non-wrestling fan when you realize, God, Neville's a really dumb name for a wrestler. That is a bad, bad name. Because Neville works in accounting.
Yeah, it's bad singular names. It's a bad team name with the Viking experience. Andy, when he came into the office, said it's the worst name change WWE have ever done.
He called for a boycott of WWE.
I take you back to 2007 to 2010.
Yep.
Those are the worst names.
Michael McGillicuddy is so much worse than the Viking experience.
Was it what was the P guy? Patrick?
EC3's original name.
No, well, Patrick Bateman was bad. No, it was Derek Bateman.
Derek Bateman was his name.
I can't remember. There were so many
there was a wrestler,
terrible names.
There was a wrestler around that time called Lucky Cannon. Lucky Cannon. Lucky Cannon is a way worse name than the Viking Experience.
Yeah. Look, we're not saying the Viking Experience is good.
No.
But it is in no way. There are several levels of hell worse than this.
Yeah. It is a name that, it's no good. Like, it is a bad name, don't get me wrong. It's no good. It's nowhere near as cool as War Raiders or War Machine. But at the same time, this clearly is a company that does not want to have, or, you know, I say it's a company, it is a guy in charge who doesn't want to have a team on his roster with War in their name. And so he had them change it.
What I want to know is when the decision was made to call them up. Because at NXT TakeOver New York, I did not get the impression that there'd be the next call-ups to WWE's main roster.
I would wager late in the day.
Yeah.
Because funny enough, Fakidor and I were joking about this in yesterday's bonus ramble that we did, where we were like, can you imagine how difficult it was for Triple H to try and plan 2 weeks' worth of NXT TV tapings? And in the back of his mind going, I could lose these people. Because now we're in a situation where the Viking Experience are on the main roster as the NXT Tag Team Champions as heels, and yet the War Raiders are defending those same tag team titles as the War Raiders as babyfaces.
Yeah. I feel like they wanted two teams to come out of NXT in that weird wave of call-ups a couple of months ago. but not Aleister Black, Tommaso Ciampa got injured, very unfortunately. So Johnny Gargano is now the champion. That's on hold. So Vince is probably like, well, we need somebody to replace the people, the problem that we created. Who's the next best tag team? They're the tag champs. I get the impression that's what's happened.
So as much as I don't like the name The Viking Experience, and it is bad because it does sound like a Disney theme park attraction. Not a ride, just like a stage show.
Yeah.
But you come back for 3:30, The Viking Experience will start then. It's the fact that they came out as heels without the tag titles. They kept saying, like, they're the NXT Tag Team Champions. I'm like, well, why haven't they got their belts then?
Yeah.
Their titles, rather.
It was all around bad. However, when the wrestling started, they're very impressive.
They're excellent. They will get over the bad name.
And this was a fun match. But weirdly, I alluded it to it earlier. Zack Ryder tags in, and the crowd are hot. Zack Ryder makes the hot tag. Crickets. I watched this back to make sure I didn't like miss someone cough or something. There is no sound in the arena when he's, you know, clothesline, bump and feed, clothesline, bump and feed. It was eerie.
Yeah.
But then they started doing all the moves on the outside. Ricochet had a botch. And it was the Viking Experience that got the win with the...
Fallout.
Ivor. The Ivor Splash.
Ivor, Ibar is what I've written in my notes. I was trying to work out what their names are.
Bored.
Yeah.
I bored.
It is, it's no good. It's not a good name. But
at least they won.
Yeah.
So maybe the Revival go to SmackDown tonight. I was kind of hoping for the war chance.
Well, they were still doing it, oddly. Because it's weird. They were still doing their, like, War Raiders gimmick.
Experience.
Just promoting experiences now. And, it was weird. And it's not a change I'm massively on board with.
You know what would be worse?
What's that?
Viking Entertainment.
They
just want to have fun.
Yeah, they just want to have fun.
It's just two Vikings who want to have fun.
But I did think halfway through the show, when the Usos jumped across, I was like, this is a stacked Raw like tag roster now, finally. But I'd imagine some of this will probably move across to SmackDown. I'm hoping one of them is the Revival. I think the Revival will have a nice home on SmackDown Live.
Yeah, definitely. We got a video package after that saying, hey, Cedric Alexander is going to come from 205 Live to Raw now. Which is, I mean, it's not Buddy Murphy like we wanted.
He's going to SmackDown.
Yeah, potentially. But yeah, they sort of put over how Mustafa Ali did something similar back in December.
Ali.
My apologies.
Prince Ali.
And yeah, I was like, yeah, that's a really good move. We love Cedric Alexander. He's always been one of our guys that we fantasy book stuff around.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's very exciting to see him hopefully get into the mid-card mix and not fall into the undercard.
Yeah,
Titus
I'm hoping
spot.
He doesn't get No Way Jose very quickly.
After that, we had my favourite draft, which was Finn Balor comes out, he's going to have a match, and out comes Andrade.
Well, not only is it Andrade with Zelina Vega, this was, and I cannot wait for this storyline to never go anywhere, a special opponent handpicked by the McMahons.
Oh, was that what they said to introduce him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait for that to go nowhere.
That's not being touched.
That's no. Next week, that will never be mentioned.
Like when Lacey Evans later says, "Oh, and they said that I'm gonna." I can't do the accent.
No.
I'm gonna get the match courtesy of the McMahons. Yep, that's not gonna go anywhere, is it?
In the same way that we never found out why Vince put Charlotte into that match,
or Kevin Owens.
Nope. It just happened.
Or why he didn't? Well, I guess we sort of knew why he didn't like Kofi Kingston.
Mm.
Racism. No. Because he didn't see him as an A-plus player. So Andrade came out, and Zelina Vega here, I was back to the great Zelina Vega back in the day, where she just plays her heel manager role perfectly.
Yeah.
Where she's always in the right position. She's so good. Well, it's her and Andrade, where they can structure a match that doesn't make Andrade look weak, even though he's cheating. And it still protects the person when he beats them.
Yeah.
I'm amazed by it.
I think they're such a good act. I was so glad to see them come together as a duo rather than get split up. Really, really happy about that. Not a great reaction for him coming out, though. It was basically no reaction. But then again, when you don't do something with no one for a year, then you're bound to get no reaction.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a smart crowd as well in Montreal, so that's a shame.
But they got heat by speaking Spanish, so that was good.
Yeah, that we never really saw Andrade cut any promos on SmackDown. So this was a nice, welcome bit of intensity.
Yeah.
The only thing I would change, I thought they had a really good match. I would have liked Andrade to win the IC title. He won the match, but if this was for the championship,
yeah,
huge start, and then that frees Balor to go to SmackDown tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. No, I completely agree with you.
Then we got Elias coming out to recap all the John Cena and Undertaker interruptions, and he gets some pretty good heat. It was teetering on Seattle level heat.
Yeah, it's just like your local sports team stuff. I think he might be going to SmackDown as well.
Mm,
I
can certainly see that.
Renee put over poutine because they were in Canada, and I agree with her. Poutine is excellent.
What is poutine?
It's chips.
Sounds like a naughty.
It's chips and gravy, and cheese curds.
Nice.
It's great.
And then Rey Mysterio came out to interrupt him, so he still hasn't had time to do his musical performance. Although we got so much time at WrestleMania. But he got enough time. But then Rey Mysterio sent Elias packing. Out comes Lars Sullivan. We said last week, but who's left on the Attitude Era?
We forgot Rey.
Yeah. So it's Rey. And I
forgot
think
about Rey.
That is a fantastic first feud for Sullivan.
I think it's great, yeah. Because
Rey
is
a man, small man thing.
Rey can get that over so well. He, like, one of Rey's greatest strengths is that he's so good against taller guys and like making those matches work. In the same way that I think like Walter's greatest strength is that he knows how to wrestle a big man match, but and still look vulnerable while looking strong at the same time. And I'm hoping that Rey can kind of get a lot of that into Lars Sullivan as well.
Yeah. And Rey can lose this first program, and he's fine.
Loses nothing.
But it does a lot for Lars, so it's a really good mix there. He'll probably just turn up as Baron Corbin's sidekick on tomorrow.
I thought it was perfect, like in this, because Rey was constantly countering what Lars was doing until Lars eventually overpowered him. And
yeah,
I thought it made Lars had that slight edge of vulnerability about him, but he still came out on top in the end. I thought it was a really well done segment.
It was the most anyone's gotten in on Lars so far.
Yeah,
but like you said, Lars hit the freak accident in the end, and then I was like, no flying headbutt, and he hit this. It was a pretty cool-looking running powerbomb.
Yeah.
It was a bit weird, but, you know, it's much better than the flying headbutt.
Completely agree. Mm. Also, I had a thought as well about, you said Drew jumping over to SmackDown. He could start a new group with The Bar, and that could be the new group of lads. Drew's group of lads. He just teamed with
Rusev.
The Bar again. Yeah, or Rusev and Nakamura was going to be my second choice. Yeah, there you go. Drew's next group of lads.
At least he might be in charge.
Oh, no, the Sheamus must be the one doing all the talking. What are you talking about?
After that, we got Bobby Roode and Chad Gable in the ring in their glorious gowns. They started to cut a promo. They said, who will be able... Like, we can beat anyone.
I can't wait for this to be a surprise.
Mm. And the production team accidentally fire a name bar graphic that just reads, The Usos.
Yeah.
I wonder who's coming out to answer them. This made me laugh so much this morning.
Yeah, I had a good laugh at this. A good, good chuckle of it.
I could feel people yelling. I couldn't hear it.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't fire off as quickly. It didn't fire off as smoothly as other graphics do. They hold up for a bit longer. But it must have gone up. And as it was going up, someone in the truck would be, no! And he hits it and it goes down horribly.
Yeah.
That was fun.
But yeah, then the Usos came out. It was a shock. Mm. And they had a match.
Very quick.
I genuinely forgot they lost the titles, and the Usos won with the double splash.
Yeah. The Usos, this is great.
Yeah.
Because there's so many different feuds. They've been on SmackDown forever. They're great promos. Roman's probably going to go to SmackDown now, so they can't team up as a family unit again.
And I'm just thinking as well, you've got a SmackDown. You've got a Raw tag team division that's got the Viking Experience and the Usos. That's a match I want to see. Mm. Particularly as well because you can do that because Viking Experience are currently heels, apparently on the main roster. So you can have the Usos as the baby faces going against them. And I think that would be an excellent match.
I think the Viking Experience won't wrestle the style we're used to.
Hey,
they're big guys. They've got a lock in their headlocks.
They're working as heels as well. Yeah. So you've got to get that headlock heat.
Can't do cartwheels and stuff, mate.
he did do the cartwheel in their opening match, though.
Yeah,
but it's a house show, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. But maybe Gable and... I mean, we're going to say this for every person who loses. Maybe Gable and Roode to SmackDown.
Yeah.
Which would be a good move. A moment of bliss is still
it's
a thing.
It's back, mate.
It hasn't left long enough for us to say it's back. Don't call it a comeback.
And Alexa Bliss is a babyface this week.
Yeah. She was so bad in this. This is an awkward one because this segment was very good, but it's all Sammy. It's all Sammy because the Moment of Bliss format Alexa Bliss in this weird robotic talk show mode. There was a bit where, like Sammy said, I didn't really want to do the show tonight to Alexa. And Alexa, there's a pause and Alexa goes, how rude. And it was just the worst line delivery outside of Dasha Fuentes I've heard for the whole of 2019.
She's lost her job.
My mind just jumped. Outside.
Name the other one.
Well, I like Charlie.
Yeah.
Sarah Schreiber.
Not Renee Young.
Yeah, not Renee Young.
Because even Kayla Braxton's got something.
Yeah, Kayla's...
I like Kayla.
Oh, what are you doing here, girl?
Paige, I'm so surprised
to see
you. Oh, my God! Oh, my God, what are you doing here?
The Usos, I never saw that coming. Sami Zayn comes out for this Alexa Bliss Moment of Bliss segment. And, of course, he's massively over.
Oh, this was so much fun. It was like Sami Zayn had come home to NXT and that Full Sail crowd just wanted to sing his song. And I was getting all these flashbacks of how this happened every single time he made an entrance. Every single time Sami Zayn went anywhere on the NXT brand, he was getting this reaction everywhere. It's a bloody shame that the main roster just drove the fans to not care about anything that he did.
Yeah. But he milked it. He sort of sat down and stood back up and his music would start again three times.
Yeah.
And the whole crowd would go, oh, great entrance music. Then he got an LA chant
going.
Yeah,
he started the LA chant. It was
and
great.
And the crowd was so into him and then he twists it. This is very similar to what he did last week. And we weren't fans of it because it was the wrong audience to do it in front of. I would have said the same about this crowd. I would have said, well, don't do it in front of them. Because they'll want to cheer Sammy regardless. For whatever reason, it worked here. And the crowd started booing Sammy. They waved him off when he said that he was going to leave now.
Yeah.
This was a great segment.
Yeah, it is a segment that on paper, I would have said, God, that's lazy writing. Because it's so, I'm going to say positive things. And now I'm going to say a negative thing about you, like after the pause with the smug. And I was like, this is just such like lazy, predictable heel writing. But it worked. So you can't criticize it. It worked like a charm.
And I think it's all down to Sammy.
Yeah, like, Sammy's great at it.
If anyone else was in there, bar Kevin Owens maybe. Like this is a very hard thing to make work in front of that crowd. After that, we got Bayley backstage. She doesn't have a partner with her tonight. Let's not talk too much about that.
Hey, Corey Graves said that she lost her ball and cried on the way home.
Mm.
And Renee said that Sasha had some, quote, interesting moves on social media. Don't know where she is, like.
Yeah, I don't know what's up there.
PW Insider said that she wasn't backstage, but... can't imagine.
Yeah, well, she was. Otherwise, she would have been in the match.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So Bayley comes out to take on the Iconics. That's not a trade.
No, they're floating champions.
They're floating champions.
In the same way that Becky is a floating champion. Mm.
But Becky has two belts. But the Iconics also have two belts.
But that was always the gimmick. Well, that was the supposed to be the gimmick.
I know.
I guess.
And Bayley's surprise partner is, drumroll, Naomi.
Yeah.
And they beat the Iconics pretty handily in about 2 minutes.
Someone else you can not comment on because she'll barely be on TV.
Mm.
Or she'll be... No, I mean, let's hope. Let's not hope, actually, because that's a terrible thing to say. Let's not hope that her SmackDown curse of being announced for matches and then those matches never taking place does not follow her to Raw.
Yeah.
Maybe with the third hour, she won't have any of her matches card subject to change.
Maybe. We can hope. It's nice that they kept Naomi and the Usos together.
Yeah.
Same with Vega and Aleister Black.
Unless he goes to SmackDown.
I think they'll keep him on.
Yeah.
A lot of people have pointed out, though, Andrade and Charlotte, who are, of course, dating. Mm. And now they're on separate touring groups.
It's very true, yeah. I'm going to make my bold prediction. I think Ember Moon is going to be on SmackDown tonight. And she's going to be one of the drafts.
Oh, I hope so. And I hope they properly double down on her.
Yeah.
Bird Raptor promo.
Yep.
We've seen it before. I think it was slightly shorter.
I thought it was just the same one.
Okay, then.
More importantly, EC3 came out to a negative reaction.
He had a microphone. Like he was going to speak.
Maybe he did something while the Bird Raptor promo was playing to the live crowd to try and, I don't know, generate some heat.
But Braun Strowman entered instead and beat him up and then slammed him into the LCD screen. those things are expensive. And it kind of came off a bit. And then he chokeslammed him through the stage, which is, like, you need to prepare that. That was a gimmick stage. But this was a late change in the day because it was meant to be Samoa Joe.
They might have been doing a spot with Joe and Braun in that on the stage,
which
as well.
Is a real shame because that would have been awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, Samoa Joe versus Braun Strowman has become in my head since last Tuesday, a really big feud.
Oh, do you know what it could have been? It could have been like the Taz Bam Bam spot in ECW where he's got the choke on, you do the big flat back bump.
Yeah.
And go through that.
Off the announcer's table.
Oh, even better, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been great. It's a shame. It wasn't that. And
hey,
it's
I mean,
just EC3
got TV time.
Squashed.
Yeah, he got TV time.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll go to SmackDown because they were trialing him in the dark matches with Drake Maverick as
his manager.
So maybe that'll be an act they can debut on SmackDown tonight. And then, you know, not appear on TV for 5 weeks.
Like the graphic that flashed next had a bunch of people who have made their trade so far. So Miz was official, I think.
Miz was official.
Yeah. But right at the back of all these people, not including Ricochet and Aleister Black or Viking Experience, right at the back was just Eric Young.
And Michael Cole almost flippantly said, oh, and Eric Young's here. Like, it, almost in those exact words was just like, and Eric Young has also, like, he's here too. And the rest. It was such a shame for Eric Young. What a complete balls up they've made of sanity. Like, of epic proportions, this balls up. Called up to the main roster, didn't debut for 2 months after being announced. Then they appeared on one pre-show pay-per-view, did sod all, became Shane McMahon's lackeys for a week or two, and now the team's just split up. Nikki Cross came up to the main roster, was never put with them as a team. And now Eric Young is on one brand, and the others are on a different brand. I mean, lads, how did you manage this one? It's impressive. It's what it is.
Yeah. So that's a thing. But maybe he's going to get a big push now.
Yeah, he is going to be enhancement talent.
For the second week in a row, after SmackDown last week, Becky Lynch passed Braun Strowman like ships in the night. I think they're building a feud here.
Maybe.
Yeah. And the monster among men versus the man. The men, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he'd be the monster among man.
Yeah, plural. Becky Lynch came out and she...
Dustin, do you want to get off your phone, mate?
Is that on?
What?
That might interfere with the audio.
It's always on.
You've got to have it on airplane mode.
Professionalism,
it has
mate.
Never interfered before.
Okay. So Becky Lynch comes out and that she has a match against Ruby Riott. It's a pretty quick match, and Becky Lynch lays waste to all of the Riott Squad.
I hope this act gets split up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, me and Fakedor were talking about this yesterday. I don't want all three of them to get drafted. Mm. I would like maybe just Sarah Logan gets drafted. Although I suppose her hubby's on Raw as well now. So
yeah,
quite
or
nice.
Is he?
Yeah, the War Raiders, sorry. The Viking Experience were officially confirmed for Raw.
They weren't on the graphic, though.
Ah, but they're on that WWE.com article, so we think that. I'm pretty sure they are now officially Raw.
I don't know who's on what brand.
I think they're okay for Raw. So maybe Sarah Logan should stay on Raw. But Ruby Riott could go across on her own to SmackDown.
Yeah, I think that's wise. The Riott Squad has... Remember when they debuted the day after Absolution?
Oh, yeah.
With Paige and Mandy Rose it was and Sonya Deville.
It was the... I believe it was the birth of Control-C, Control-V.
Yeah. But yeah, the Riott Squad got pretty easily dispatched by Becky. So, yep, I think that's fair to assume they're going to get broken up. But then again, that's what's been happening to them for the last several months. Ronda Rousey would do the same thing to them. So who knows?
Yeah, but it's a superstar shakeup now.
And then there's a backstage interview with Charlie Caruso and the Corbin Midcard of Evil. And then it cuts back to the ring and Natalya comes out to congratulate Becky, because that's what everyone has to do at the start of their promos now. And Natalya didn't get a reaction, really, in Montreal.
She got booed for doing Bret Hart's catchphrase, which I think they thought would get massively over.
Yeah. And I thought Natalya was naff here. I thought the script was terrible as well.
Yep.
Becky Lynch hasn't had any good segments since winning the title.
She's been Daniel Bryan.
Mm.
Put into a feud with Kane.
And there was even a line when Natalya goes, I'm a pioneer of women of the women's division. I just thought, shut up. This is terrible.
And then Becky was like, yes, you are a pioneer of the women. And I'm not saying that she's not, because she's been there long enough that I guess she has to be part of the support structure. But then it's like, cool. Don't have to bring it up all the time, though. And then she was like, yeah, you are a pioneer, and I have to thank you for being in the main event of WrestleMania. It's like, no, you got there on your own two feet, mate.
It made both of them look lame.
Yeah.
And then, because it wasn't lame enough, Lacey Evans came out.
I thought, I'm going to disagree with you here, I thought Lacey Evans came out and saved the segment. I am a big, big supporter of Lacey Evans in this role, with the exception of that moonsault.
So explain to me why you liked her coming out and her reasoning for the match, and I'll tell you why you're wrong.
Okay. I thought she cut a half-decent promo, which was a step up from the previous two that had come before her. And then she... Okay. I did like... Actually, I will say this. My favourite part of the scene was when Lacey Evans came out, Becky Lynch said into the microphone, oh, it's this dope.
Yeah.
She essentially insinuated that she blew management to get this position, and now she's going to fight for the number one contendership.
Yeah, so the exact quote, I haven't got it up on this one, but it was essentially, a woman uses her charms backstage and all that nonsense. So yeah, it's like, yeah, I did a sexual favor backstage and now I'm in the match. So, okay, that's very... boundary-pushing storytelling for WWE, and arguably one that would be very interesting to explore if you frame her as the heel, which she very much is, and you make that as part of the story. And then that's even like a sort of a women's evolution. These women who are doing it for themselves against, you know, sort of, I guess, symbols of the patriarchy and the old way of doing things. But that's not what happened. She just said, yeah, I sort of flirted with everyone backstage and got the match. But then there was, like, the commentary didn't say anything about how that was bad.
It also contradicts her character of being that she's meant to be sort of like the symbol of all that is womanly and a lady.
Yeah. So I'm not a fan of her promos. I think her character's too cartoonish for this level of feud. She hasn't wrestled on the main roster.
Hey, she had a match here.
Her first match in 4 months.
And the Royal Rumble.
That doesn't count, man. and she's like, even the content of the promos is very problematic now. But yes, I have got my sights on her because I don't think this is the right move for Becky Lynch after the Ronda Rousey title win. Like, winning the title off of Ronda Rousey. So, yeah, I'm looking for things wrong with her. But they're quite blatant to see.
Yeah, I rescind my comments. I don't think I actually completely forgot the content of the promo until I looked at my notes and then thought, I have forgotten about this. And I've gone to bat to say, this was great. So I will rescind that comment. That was incorrect. However, I thought it was a better delivery of promo than what had come beforehand. And then... at least she had a match, and she won that match.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that Natalia stays on Raw, and you can have her segments.
Yeah, so it was an ordinary match.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, mate, that is giving it some plaudits right there to call it an ordinary match.
So there was nothing in this match that made me take attention of her?
Here are my notes. Natty runs wild. Ad break. Lacey has heat. Becky is watching backstage. Lacey wins.
Yeah. Well, she hit the women's rights punch on... Which is a fantastic name. It's a fantastic name for
good
a move.
Pun, mate. Yeah, yeah. Good pun.
That's the best thing about her character.
And I think her look is excellent. And her music rules.
Mm. And so Natalia's laid out. And then Lacey Evans hits the BME. The best moonsault ever.
It's not quite the BME.
She doesn't do the flip, does she?
No, so Daniels would do 1-2 and the moonsault. She looks backwards. She actually spins round and
okay.
does it.
Yeah, so it's a moonsault, which is impressive. Problem is, she landed knees first on Natalia.
Oh, right into her abdomen. Good Lord, that looked like it sucked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But whatever... I am not interested in Evans versus Lynch. If Sasha Banks is annoyed, why not just say, hey, look, we're going to put you in a really high-profile title feud then with Becky Lynch. It's sitting right there.
Yeah, I know. But, they did specifically say, And I will say this as a positive for this segment. They specifically said that they were going after the Raw Women's Championship, which then opens up Becky on SmackDown for a SmackDown Women's Championship feud as well.
So there is Carmella.
No, Ember Moon. Or there's a Sasha Banks opening up there as well. Like, okay. If we are going to take, we'd said last week, one of the errors that we thought it was that they weren't setting up separate feuds. And now they are. So we criticized them for doing something. They're now no longer doing that. There should be at least something to be said for it.
You're right. Also, you know, like people always say Becky Lynch isn't the person, and she quite clearly is, because they put all that, they gave her both belts at Mania. But really, she's the person to build other people that management prefer.
Daniel Bryan did.
Yeah, that's what I've done. That's what, just based, I know it's very cynical based on 10 days out from WrestleMania, but and Meltzer says, look, Becky's the chosen one. I think she is the chosen one to then get other people over in 6 months' time. And just like Daniel Bryan in that first win, yeah, they're going to be flattened out with not rubbish feuds, but just not the right feuds, lackluster deliveries.
Well, that's the thing, is like with Bryan, the concussion obviously cut this completely short, and you know, and that all went sort of a bit nipples north for it. But the whole plan was that he was going to win the belt and then just lose it to Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. He was going to have a run from Mania to SummerSlam. When Brock Lesnar completely destroyed Cena, that was meant to be Daniel Bryan. And I would probably wager that Bryan was then never going to be back into that title picture ever again. We had the moment. They had the Yes-O-Mania moment, and then we're probably never going to pick up that thread again.
We've had our Becky Lynch moment. And now, at the end of the year, it's going to be Lacey Evans and Mandy Rose.
And Charlotte.
And Carmella. Blonde people.
Hey, it's Liv Morgan's time. Finally.
After that, we got another Charlie interview, this time with Seth and Roman. They teased that the Shield won't be together forever.
Well, so they also teased that it's the final chapter. That's a documentary they've got airing this Sunday on the network. Someone opened up the door in this segment and nearly walked out. Felt very WCW.
I think it was AJ. Yeah, so Seth even corpsed, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
He laughed. but then, maybe it was something supernatural. Because in the next promo, we got... Well, it was the Bird Raptor stuff, but with a different array of toys. There was a doll's house.
Yep. I've written here, Bird Raptor has a doll's house now. Mm. And then there was like a rocking chair. There was one that was kind of like going across the neck of another one as if it was trying to kill it. And then it ended with this doll that I'm guessing is meant to be sort of like an Annabelle reference.
Hmm.
And it was creepy looking. So Bray Wyatt's gimmick is he's the puppet master.
Yeah.
All for it, mate.
Yeah. And then we got the main event.
Much rather him be that than Hobo Wizard.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the next evolution of Hobo Wizard,
Do we need Supernatural? Can't we just have good old-fashioned cults?
Hey, dude, when it first panned up and there was a dress, my first thought was, oh no, it's Sister Abigail.
I thought that.
They brought back Sister Abigail. I can't believe that. How could you lead to this?
I didn't know the scale. I was like, is that a person? Oh no, it's a tiny doll. that's all of Raw. I gave it 4 out of 5 because...
What? Whoa!
It was a fun show.
It was a fine show.
There was fun. There was nothing to be seriously annoyed about apart from Viking experience.
Thank you.
But really, like...
Boycott WWE, right, Datsun?
That seemed like 4 days ago by the end of the show.
Like the power.
I would give it an average. Mm. It was not a newsworthy superstar shakeup, and I think that should go against it. But there was nothing outright to hate about it other than the obvious name change, which, as we said, is not good, but there have been worse name changes.
I think my expectations were lowered so much by last week's Raw that this week's Raw has been benefited.
You've gone from a poor all the way up to... And, hey, you were out of step last week. I think you'll find yourself out of step again this week with the Swaff Nation.
Did people love it last week?
Oh, people gave it average last week. And then I think there were more people giving it core than poor as well.
Okay. Well, hit us up. Yeah, and you gave it average.
Yeah.
What do you think, Randy?
I thought it was average as well. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you can suggest that we don't need wizards. We always need wizards in our life. Just
Harry Potter fan. Famous Harry Potter fan, Randy.
Bit of a thing. Chris Merriman says...
Talking of sexual fantasies.
Chris Merriman says, what is your favorite wrestling chant of all time?
Chris Merriman, whose name is going to be read out very shortly when we do the Patreon shoutouts. You might want to get those ready as well, Randy.
Are they in Luke's notes?
They are indeed. Okay. Our favorite wrestling chant of all time. I'm only going to say this because I was actually just rewatching WrestleMania 30 for Wrestle Ramble Extra. It's the Yes chant. Mm. When Daniel Bryan comes out and there is just a sea of Yes chants, I was like, God, what a great time that was.
There's the Yes chant. There's the Fandangoing, which really was the start of Raw after Mania for me. But I'm going to choose my own because Noam Dar, a Scottish wrestler at Progress Chapter 4, he had an armbar. And everyone would say, what was it? People would chant deep fried stuff at him.
Mm-hmm.
And he got in an armbar and I went, deep fried armbar. Like a Mars bar. And it didn't catch on because everyone was too busy laughing. And that was one of the proudest moments of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to change my answer then because it's one of my favorite ones to start at Rev Pro shows and join in with, which is Roberts, do your job. Roberts, do your job. Na 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 na. Can we have another question, please?
You sure can.
Thank you.
Vivid Chim suggests that the Viking Experience sounds like a bad porn film.
Someone did actually say that if you genuinely hate the Viking Experience that much and you want to get rid of it, just make a porn film with that name and then they'll be forced to change it.
Mm, because it's not going in the Hall of Fame.
That's what happened with Submission Sorority or Sorority Submission.
I'll
remember,
do it.
Remember them? What?
You volunteer him?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah, they were called that name. And then it turned out there was a porn film with the exact same title, so they just became Team PCB instead.
Mm. Let's have a look. Rob Pontin says, Pontin's problems, yes. Adam Cole, call up new gimmick Michael Cole's son.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah. That doesn't have to be, does he?
It doesn't have to be. Or actually, it's funny you should say the Adam Cole thing, because I wonder if that is going to be one of those things and it'll just be one of those weird McMahon moments where he suddenly goes, well, we can't have two people with the same name. Give him a different name.
Adam. His name's just Adam.
Adam. Yeah.
Bebe. Adam Bebe.
Adam Bebe, yeah.
Yeah.
It's me.
Wrong camera.
There we go. Have I just ruined everything?
No. Well, it won't be easy for you to change back, but yeah.
Okay, one second. Ring Profits Wrestlecast says, I can see The Dream doing some crossover work from NXT. Possibly a Dream versus Joe would be interesting.
Dream versus Joe? What, Samoa Joe?
I'm guessing so, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be an awesome feud.
That'd be a great feud, yeah. Really, really great feud. But I think Dream's going to be not stuck in NXT. I think he's going to be staying in NXT for another year.
He's going to be safe in NXT.
Yeah, along with Gargano and the rest of them. And Matt Riddle.
Who do you think will switch brands that shouldn't switch brands?
Ooh. Oh, that's a great question. That's a really,
From
really great
XSG.
Question. I'm actually going to say Andrade. I'd have liked Andrade to stay on SmackDown.
Yeah, that's a good shout. I'll say Seth Rollins shouldn't switch brands, but he also hasn't switched brands.
Yeah.
So who are the Eric Young?
Actually, it's another great
Eric
show.
Young should just
Eric
be
Young, yeah.
Stuck with sanity.
Yeah.
Safe with sanity.
But is it safe though?
I don't know. Sane.
Speaking of switching brands, if you wanna keep track of everyone who switched brands, go to WrestleTalk.com because we've got a whole list there doing a whole tracker. So just And that's for every single superstar shake of all time. So
ooh.
Just
what a valuable resource. You know?
That is a dreadful plug. And plugs are also available at the Prince Charles Cinema in Leicester Square, where we're going to be screening Ready to Rumble on May 7th.
Jay-Z says, Mr. Davis, congrats on your successful marathon run. Now you can beer 52 24/7.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to hear all about the... I want to say epic story of Ollie Davis's marathon, the Wrestle Ramble podcast, which will be out in about an hour after this finishes, is well worth checking out.
It's a tale of strife and struggle and tears that didn't have physical form.
And sunburn.
Mm.
Vincent Millage says, and I think he's got confused with the genres here, but can't wait for the Viking Experience travel package, meet and greet for WrestleMania next year, complete with a pirate ship tour.
Of course! Yeah, of course! Of course!
Well, Vikings and pirates are very different, though. They're different factions in Smash Up.
Pirates of the Caribbean? Sky Pirates?
Well, we thought... I think Kairi Sane's getting called up tonight. And so, and I think she is on track to be... should be called the Pirate Experience as well. Is,
so in Tampa Bay, am I right? It's a bay. Yeah. There's going to be a match in the ocean. There's going to be a floating ring.
Floating ring.
I used to have that play set for WCW Bash at the Beach.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great idea. Floating ring.
I'm all in for the Viking experience now, if it ends in that.
And we could do someone doing like the PCO powerbomb to the floor, but it's not the floor. It's the water.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
You saw that they accidentally advertised Kairi Sane as a member of the SmackDown roster yesterday.
I did see that, yeah. But that graphic also had like Eric Young and everyone else that had been traded. So, and plans change.
Heavy Metal Mike says, Brock Lesnar to SmackDown, Fox will have SmackDown and UFC in October, and Fox probably wants the crossover. Also, Bugenhagen is my spirit animal.
So was that Rousey?
Lesnar.
Oh, Lesnar.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be the big acquisition, is that Lesnar goes across to SmackDown and never shows up.
Yeah. Yeah, they can just advertise his name.
Yeah.
Not follow through on it.
But that sounds very un-WWE, though. That
they wouldn't do that.
They wouldn't have shady business practices like that. No, sounds very out of character.
They're a very modern 20-teen organization.
Absolutely, yeah.
Not a carny backwater thing.
Tomo, although I think I know what the answer is going to be, and is that the answer is going to be that we wouldn't speculate, but Lacey had to do some tactics to get the match. So did Charlotte use the same tactic to get added to the WrestleMania main event?
Get blonde hair.
Maybe this is part of a larger storyline.
Oh, it's Vince McMahon really bringing back the Attitude Era. Like, remember that he did that segment with Tori where he was like, you want to get a job? Mm. And it was all a ploy for him to get caught by Linda.
Unfortunately, I think this... Well, probably fortunately, I don't think this goes anywhere.
Hey, remember that guy walking in on Alexa Bliss? That went nowhere.
Yeah.
So I think it's just these are storylines. They get started and get dropped. And before people say that's not a thing, Big Show himself said it on a podcast. I believe it was Austin's podcast where he was like, yeah, you know, storylines would just start 2 weeks later. But they're not there anymore. What happened to Big Show and The Bar?
They broke up on WWE.com, I think.
And what did The Big Show do afterwards?
I don't know.
Why did they get together?
I don't know. SmackDown 1000. That's why. Moments.
On the subject of Get Betters, we had this email come in from Paul Young that says, hi, Luke, Ollie, and the rest of the gang. A bit different to normal Get Betters, as I'm only just starting out my journey. After listening to many people's Get Better stories, it inspired me to take the plunge myself. I've always been a heavyweight and would have been ineligible for 205 Live since I was 13. I'm currently tipping the scales at 26 stone and 7 pounds. For our international listeners, that is 371 pounds. He wanted to save you Googling live on air.
Again, you've just given me the same measurement in different... You haven't. So that isn't in kilograms, though.
Do you want it in kilograms?
Have you got it in kilograms?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll have it in kilograms, please.
Yeah, it's 168 kilograms.
Ah, now I know.
Okay.
You doing sound effects, Andy?
No.
You're all right.
I feel like you're reacting to the numbers.
No, I hurt my elbow playing darts yesterday.
Sports.
Yeah, basically. It really hurts.
Sorry, that really made me laugh. Back to this very serious email. Which is only 6 kilo less than the Big Show is currently listed at, and I am not 7 feet tall. I tried to become 7 feet tall by studying it, but my art teacher says you can't teach that. I started my journey with Slimming World and hoping to drop down my weight over the next year. My weigh day is on Saturday, so we'll occasionally update you on my possible journey, possibly before pay-per-views. Thank you for the consistent content, which keeps me sane while working from home. P.S. I only just realized that jogging was code, so I was very confused by the story months ago about the couple who invited a different person jogging, then kept jogging with that third party. Kept thinking, why would they care if someone else was running with them? That's from Paul.
Why, what is jogging for?
Well, it's running. We were getting those marathon emails in. It was people just getting ready for the marathon.
So the actual... I don't want to keep going back to how awful the marathon is. But you lose... What's the exact... Actually, you talk, because you lose so much weight on the actual process of doing the marathon. Because your body starts to eat itself because it runs out of energy stores.
We've had some emails in that I'm not going to read out on this podcast because it just doesn't feel really that appropriate. Like super serious emails, which I do want to read out because I do think they're stories that are worth sharing. But because Ollie's been talking about such frivolous things, I don't think it's quite...
Frivolous?
I think we'll have a real tonal shift. I've just opened up the wrong email that I want to do so. This came in from Jaron Walker, who said, "Hey guys, listen to the Raw review. Just heard that you guys think I'm someone named Jeremiah on YouTube because we have the same avatar. Yeah. Honestly, I'm deeply offended. Do we all look the same to you, Luke? Oh, okay. One of us has a CM Punk logo. Then we all look the same. Disappointed emoji. I'd like to be judged by the content of my emails, not the picture on my profile. Sarcasm aside, it's honestly not me. My YouTube name is Small Afro Games, just like on Twitter. Love the content and dedication, guys. I'm going to be going to SummerSlam weekend in Canada as well, so I'll try to be the man in the building once again." That's from Jaron Walker. Well, thank you very much, Jaron. I do apologize. I literally, because I see the CM Punk logo in his avatar, and so whenever I see that now, I just think it's Jaron again, because Jaron's emailed a lot into the show, and so I just think that anyone who has got that logo is him.
A lot of people have the same avatars.
No, I There's appreciate the, that. But also, I just thought people would have stopped having that avatar in 2014.
Hey, CM Punk lives in us all. Whenever we're dissatisfied with the WWE product, or Shane McMahon inadvisedly starts calling himself the slogan that CM Punk once had,
yep,
we're going to chant it.
Yeah. I'm being facetious, of course. You're free to like CM Punk and have his avatar, which, let's be honest, was a very, very cool logo. And it was a very specific one as well, because it's one with the Chicago background, or the black and white one, which I'm not sure the Chicago one. Let's have another email. Let's go back to Justin's potpourri email with his WrestleTalk Get Better. I had my first doctor's appointment in a few years about 3 weeks ago, and it was a bit of a wake-up call because I weigh in at 324 pounds. Now, do you want that in kilograms?
Yes, please.
Okay, Randy, can you Google that for us, please?
I can.
So that's 324 pounds to kilograms, please. Well, I wish the doctor would have talked to me more about just my weight. He beat the dead horse until it was paste. I've since started making changes to my diet, and right now I'm trying to cut down on carbs and sugar in general. I'm looking into more official diet plans like paleo or Atkins?
Paleo. Sorry. Like a paleolithic man. Someone who just grazes on berries and kills mammoths and eats the mammoths.
Also, I did follow Ollie's lead, and I did a 24-hour fast to kind of reset my body. As I said in the last section, I'm already down 5 pounds, so I now weigh 319 pounds. Can you change that, Andy, and update us? So it isn't much, but it is a start. I will email you an update when I get below 300, and when I get to my eventual goal of 270 to 280 pounds. That is a great start.
It is 144.696 kilograms.
Still means nothing to me.
That is. It's the cheapest diet in the world.
It's like...
not eating.
It's like me...
twice. I don't know how much you weigh, mate.
It's like... okay, well, pick me up. it's about the same as one of the...
it's Andy wearing a hoodie.
It's like Roe.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, Ivor, whatever his name is.
He's in very good shape, that lad.
Yeah, but he's a big guy.
Yeah, so he's still in good shape, though.
Yeah,
so thank you very much for your email.
Good luck.
And good luck to you, absolutely. We'll transition into his 80% fact, and we'll have some 80% facts and get out of here. For the last part of this email, I'm going to...
5 minutes.
I know, yeah. I'm going to add in an 80% fact. I was listening to a science podcast, and the guest on the show said that the second-born sons are more likely to be homosexual because the first son takes most of the testosterone out of the mother's body.
What?
When I told this to my mum, she really questioned it. I'm not surprised. And she said, of course they would always blame the mother. Needless to say, I now find this statement to be suspect, and I've said I've stopped listening to that podcast.
Yeah, that's weird.
I mean, I am a second-born son.
As am I.
Yeah, and I'm straight as an arrow, so I don't buy that for a second.
And but to say it's the mother's fault, like it's something to go wrong,
exactly,
is also
yeah.
problematic.
It's just something that is in, it's available in all of us, no matter where you're born.
We all know it's the water that's turning people gay and those goddamn frogs!
No, you're wrong. It's the vaccines that are making them gay. That's what's really doing it. Should we have some more 80% facts?
Sure thing.
This one comes in from Edward. Hello, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, and definitely not Dandel Ratson. I have an 80%.
That feels meaner now. It's here with us.
It does. Although, I'm just saying, the New Scientist says that the more older brothers you have, the more likely you are to be gay.
So correlation or causation.
Yeah, I think that's very much,
chalk
yeah.
that up.
I'd imagine if you interviewed, like, you know, 8 gay men who had older brothers, then the science would then prove that you're 100% correct in your assertion. Mm. But that's because you specifically pick those 8 people. So like, I remember once reading an article that was talking about why horror movies are really bad, badly treat their female characters. And they were talking about how like female characters rarely survive horror movies. And they listed off all these examples. And I'm like, yeah, well, you just picked examples. You cherry-picked examples where women don't survive. If you cherry-picked all of these where they do survive because they're bountiful and there's loads of them to pick from, your study completely falls down. Anyway, I've gone off track. This comes in from Edward. I've got an 80% fact which I never thought to check if it's true and maybe about to embarrass myself, but ho-hum. I once saw on a TV show, maybe The Real Hustle, but don't quote me on that, that if you are on the phone with someone who is next to your car and you are not and use your car key fob, it will open the car.
If you nod.
Let me try that again. If you are on the phone with someone who is next to your car and you are not and use your car fob, it will open the car.
Oh, so like you're at home and someone has driven your car
and
you call them and they're next to your car and you use the car key like down the phone.
Yeah.
I mean.
I say, I've never thought to look into this or even try, so I may sound gullible moron, then so be it.
And where did he get that from? Just something he heard?
Maybe it was a TV show, maybe it was The Real Hustle, but I don't know what The Real Hustle
is. Is that a fictional thing?
No, it was a show on BBC Three about how to avoid scams and things like that. I used to watch it quite a lot. So.
Do you remember that particular fact?
I do not, no. It was mainly like people... how to avoid pickpockets and stuff like that. So.
Do you know how I avoid pickpockets, Andy?
By removing pockets.
No, I have the Ridge Wallet is what I have. There's a nice little segue there. Please go on. Do you remember what the link was?
The link?
Yeah.
I think it's theridge.com/wrestletalk. They make wallets.
They make lovely wallets.
They're good wallets.
They're not even sponsoring this podcast, but I really want that link to work for people.
It's out of the goodness of our hearts.
That is absolutely...
But they've got RFID blocking technology, which is where people just come and they go bloop, and they... take all your car keys.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, I've never felt cooler / sexier than when I use my Ridge wallet at a checkout.
It sounds, now you've gone too far.
No, I genuinely do. Yeah. I pull it out and I'm like, and I think, this is cool.
Pull what out?
Anyway, right, thank you very much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow for the SmackDown podcast, where we'll have more superstar shake-up nonsense. Take care, I love you, goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.